when the council adopts this, this will be the first day of a brand new history for the Bureau of Emergency Communications, that people can predict how many hours they're going to work and promise their family they'll be home right after work. That's important. People can, one of the things that you heard Yvonne mention was summer vacation. People with not a lot of seniority should be able to have some days off in the summer, and particularly in a job like this. This gives us that. So we're really hoping that this package, which Lisa and Sarah and Yvonne and others spent
a little over a year.
Is a result of 1 year of sometimes daily discussions and sometimes acrimonious discussions to get to this point, that we have really developed finally a strategy we think that shows us some light at the end of the tunnel in terms of maintaining our staffing levels at a predictable level, hiring people that we don't have to let go who have some skills in the 911 process. So I really appreciate how hard this has been. This has been one of the most difficult things we've accomplished at the 911 center since I've been assigned it 4.5 years ago. And at times we thought it was going to fall apart, and it didn't. And Yvonne was a big reason why it didn't. Thank you very much for your work. But thank you, Sarah and Lisa, for your dedication. They, if they hadn't had their kind of cool approach to this and was able to withstand some of the stuff that was thrown their way, we wouldn't have this package. So I know maybe not all recognize that. I certainly do, and I certainly appreciate it very much.
I noticed that it'll cost about $500,000 a year. Do you have that already built into your 07-08 budget?
Yes, we do.
Good.
How many positions?
It's not additional positions. What we did is we created a four-step career ladder with the call takers, fire dispatchers, police dispatchers, and then senior dispatchers. And to be a senior dispatcher, you have to have all of those skills, and they are the people that we gave the 6% increase to. It's
other questions? Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Is there anybody, do we have a sign-up sheet?
I did not
Is
have
there anybody
one.
Here who wishes to testify on this matter? Beginning with 488-1, it's emergency vote. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank you all for your work on this and congratulate you, Commissioner Leonard. Having been around this government a long time and seen 911 and the issues of 911 and just how difficult they are and how important overcoming them are to the community. I mean, this will not probably be in the newspaper. It'll probably get no coverage in the media, but it's a life or death issue that you're making an improvement on. And I really want to thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for your perseverance on this issue. And I want to thank the team before us and everyone behind you for working on it so diligently. Really appreciate it. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, it's very important, as each of us know, when we hire a director, that it's somebody that reflects our values, that we trust, that we know that we're not going to have to be embarrassed by at some point in our political futures. And Lisa has requited herself very well on this issue. I mean, this is one of the tougher things one does in a leadership position, try to mediate the angst of the work group with supervisors and then come up with an agreement, especially when it costs money. So this is a very, very significant improvement, and I'm not surprised. I mean, I obviously had a lot of faith in you, but you've certainly requited yourself well with this agreement, and thank you, Sarah, for all the work that you did as well.
Thank you.
Hi.
Potter.
I want to thank you folks, too. I just, having been around even longer than Commissioner Leonard, watching BOEC and how difficult it is, the environment there, the stress that goes on, I think both Commissioner Leonard and I have acknowledged over the years that it's actually a tougher environment than police or fire. So we recognize that. And I think this agreement recognizes that and provides an opportunity for folks to be recognized and rewarded for their efforts. So I want to thank you. Vote aye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you all. Thanks, Yvonne.
488-2.
Thank you. Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Okay, going back to the order of events, item 482.
Authorize revenue bonds to finance cost of the Portland Mall revitalization project.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Just a comment. On May 17th, we'll be having a update to the public and everyone else on progress on the construction of the Transit Mall. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 43.
Accept bid of Brandt Construction, Inc. for the Brownwood Floodplain Restoration Project for $3,986,110.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and members of City Council. I'm Christine Moody with the Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 107036 for the Brownwood Floodplain Restoration Project for the Bureau of Environmental Services to Brandt Construction in the amount of $3,986,110. BES, along with purchases, identified 11 divisions of work for potential MWSB participation, and participation for this project represents 4% of the identified subcontracting dollars. And I will turn this back over to Council if you have any questions.
Well, just that, and this should be of no surprise to anyone. I mean, who's watched my efforts, the 4%, there is none going to MWBE. Is that correct?
Actually, the 4% is going to either a WBE or an ESB.
Right, but then I look below. You've got two dots below on your memo to the calendar, and it looks like the bulk of it's going to a WBE and none going to a minority-owned business. And
That's correct. The bulk is going to a WBE.
And none to minority business. Any idea why we had no success in getting to a minority business enterprise?
I'm not sure on this particular project. I know that in this project, Brandt is self-performing most of the work.
Right.
And so that they are subcontracting with three firms. They're all certified, so there's no subcontracting dollars going to a non-certified firm.
Right.
They just don't have subcontracting going to a minority business on this project.
Right. And again, these somehow get on the council calendar without me ever getting to have a crack at it ahead of time. Sort of ask these questions, and I don't necessarily like to take up the council's time with this, but this isn't a Bureau of Environmental Services contract, and so I'd just like to follow up with you again and Jeff, and if we could make it a matter of protocol that they would come through my office before they actually get on the calendar so I can ask questions.
The supplemental staff report, or?
Well, these go directly from the purchasing agent to the city council, so I don't ever get to see them. So I'd like to work with you and, more importantly, probably the Bureau of Environmental Services to make sure they come to me beforehand. So
certainly.
I'll work on that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Other questions? Does anybody sign up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Okay. It's a report. We need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. 344.
Accept bid of Dunn Construction, Inc. for the Neighborhood Sump Rehabilitation Project for $723,432.
Good morning. Christine Moody, Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 107084 for the Neighborhood Sump Rehabilitation Project for the Bureau of Environmental Services to Dunn Construction in the amount of $723,432. And BES, along with purchases, identified six divisions of work for potential MWSB participation. Participation for this project represents 2.8% of the identified subcontracting dollars. So I will turn this back over to you for any questions.
Questions? Need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 485.
Adopt findings, authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding process to the Bureau of Purchases pursuant to ORS 279C.335 and City Code Title 5, Section 5.34.810 and 5.34.820, and provide payment for construction of the Sandy River Conduit Relocation Project.
Mr. Leonard, is there something you wanted to read into the record?
No.
Oh, you mean about Commissioner Adams' eating devices?
Second reading, call of it.
Adams?
Democracy can be very cruel sometimes. Aye.
Leonard?
If not true, aye.
Sten?
No comment, aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 46.
Accept approvals and denials of the limited tax abated single family new construction, rental rehabilitation, and owner-occupied rehabilitation projects from January 1, 2006 to December 31, 2006.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Council members, nice to see you.
And solidarity, Andy.
Yes, yes. Andy Welch, PDC, Director of Housing. And Johnson's handing out a little bit of information, copies of the PowerPoint, I believe. And I know that we have a big kickoff at 11:30 on the employer assistance. So I'm going to be as brief as I can on my presentation and clearly answer any questions that you might have. This is approval of city approval of single family new construction in owner occupied rehabilitation limited tax abatement. This ORS code 307.674 requires the city on an annual basis approve these tax abatements. In your packet of information is a pretty long list of 281, I believe, addresses and homeowners, property owners that have received either the single-family new construction or the owner-occupied rehabilitation tax abatement this past year. One of the things I want to note is that by statute, the council should approve this by April 1 of every year. That is in the statute. It's not been observed in our relationship with the county ongoing. However, clearly it's a statutory provision. We're working with the county to try to figure out how we can solve that issue and some other policy issues that have come up. And I want to assure the council, though, that we have every ability to ensure that we meet that April 1st deadline, and we will in the future. We didn't this year. We haven't always in the past, but it wasn't a problem, quite honestly. But we will ensure that we do that. I just wanted to put that on the public record. The program's purpose, stimulate neighborhood revitalization, help Portlanders become homeowners, and clearly support the city's initiative to eliminate the minority homeownership gap. New single-family construction program requirements, single-family or condominium units in designated home buyer opportunity areas, household income not to exceed $66,900, and the sales price limit of $258,000 for 2006. By the way, in 2007, that sales price limit will be $275,000, with the maximum income staying the same. There is several examples of housing units that have received this in the New Columbia. Almost 100 units of housing, homeownership housing, were units and individuals that received a tax abatement, helping the New Columbia to be much more affordable, I think, with a small amount of resource. The property must be located. The second piece of the program is owner-occupied rehab, which property must be located in designated home buyer opportunity area. Must be owner-occupied, and the rehabilitation improvements must exceed 5% of the assessed value. There's a map that shows the home buyer opportunity areas primarily in East Portland, Southeast Portland, North Northeast Portland. This is set by you, the council, recently last year, I believe they were established, reestablished. Specific owner benefits of the programs exempts property taxes on the assessed value of the improvements. Property owners continue to pay taxes on the value of the land and the previous improvements to the land. One of the interesting uses of this tool is there's an empty lot in St. John's that clearly didn't have much market activity. The next slide shows the cathedral condominiums where 11 of the 14 units were recipients, owners of those units were recipients of the limited tax abatement. So it's a great revitalization tool as well as a home ownership tool. For 2006, there were a total of 281 abatements, 271 for the new construction program and 10 for the rehabilitation program. We wanted to take a moment knowing that we need to use our tools strategically in support of broader community goals. We wanted to take a moment to look at a few demographics of the recipients and the beneficiaries of the programs. The first slide there is a demographic slide by income. You'll notice that fully 75% of the home buyers and recipients of the limited tax abatement were earning 80% of median family income or less. The next slide, which is a recap of race and ethnicity, I think it's important to note that over 50% of the households that were recipients of the limited tax abatement are households of color.
How is the, do you have any observations on the relatively high number of Asian Americans?
I don't. The next slide is a first-time homebuyers. You can see that, because these programs are not inherently only for first-time homebuyers. They're for income-eligible individuals that make less than a certain income per annum. First-time homebuyers, 148 out of the total of 281, over 51% are first-time homebuyers. We did want to account for the nature of providing economic opportunities for single-parent households in particular. So this next slide shows that 20% of the recipients are female head of household. And that's just a snapshot on the demographics. We have more information. Happy to provide that at any time, and I would entertain any questions.
How do you decide where the boundary is?
Well, Barbara Sack can go into what's a complicated formula, but it's really a formulaic basis based upon distressed income areas, and income level associated with poverty.
Thanks. That's fine.
Other questions? Is anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Okay. Is anybody here who wishes to testify on this matter? Hey, this is the resolution. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, for those of you that might just be listening and seeing the word tax abatement, this is very different than each of our tax abatement programs are different from one another, and this is very different than some of the more controversial ones, and I'm going to enthusiastically support it because it focuses the benefit on the folks that need it the most. So thank you for your work on this. Aye.
Leonard?
And I second that. I mean, I, as some observers may recall, don't consistently support tax abatements, but this is an outstanding program and actually uses abatements to do what otherwise could not be done, and that's provide home ownership opportunities for a lot of people in the community. So this is a program that PDC does that's tremendously successful, and I'm tremendously supportive of. Aye.
Stan.
Aye.
Potter.
Good job, folks. We appreciate it. Aye.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're recessed until 2:30.
I do. I've got all kinds. You can actually have 2 or 3.
Grab them and ask if you can.
That's
a tough.
Are they under that price?
A little.
bureau. It makes a loud noise.
Yes, it does. But I'm hoping we turn the corner here today.
Good.
Keep our fingers crossed. All right.
As you pull it to the drive, and I just open it so I got all kinds of stuff on. I realized this morning it's like, oh, and you should have all this stuff on here.
Yes.
So you want me to just save it to the drop, or can I just pull it over?
Pull it over, that would be the easiest.
I think I
just
can
on the desktop would be right there, and then I'll just put it there.
Okay. I do like it.
And I thought you were there, too.
Thank you very
You're
much.
Welcome.
You want me to shut this down?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got it?
I got it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.